Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs like the XPS 16 powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
It is another hour of the program. An absolute delight to be with you on this Memorial Day. Appreciate Rich picking up the phone and allowing me to cover it all with you. We move quickly whenever I'm lucky enough to be in the chair, but I always try to create opportunities for you to get interactive. It's 844-204-7424 is the number to call. You can hit me up on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. We'll keep this monologue a bit more succinct. My clock management was rough. I was like Brandon Staley at the end of the game for a Chargers meltdown before he got fired to open the program with very expansive thoughts on the Mavs and Celtics and the disappearing act of Karl-Anthony Towns. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll say hello to our first guest. Say hello to Mike Vorkunov, longtime NBA writer, now working for The Athletic. Final segment of the program coming up at 2:40 Eastern time. In the next hour of the show, we'll talk just a little bit of baseball because I'm a purist. If it's Memorial Day, it's a good opportunity to put the first chunk of 30% of the regular season in perspective. Scott Miller always makes the program better. Scott also spent many years covering the grand old game. You could check out his work currently for the New York Times. He's the co-author of the book 90% Mental. In 40 minutes, because this is the football show of record and OTAs continue, well, that's nonsensical unless players are somehow related to you and you have to drive them to the facility because they're getting their work in. Really is more of a media-driven chance now to hear from the marquee names across the NFL. Which head coach on Friday compared his quarterback situation to orphan dogs? I feel good about that tease. You've got to forward promote always. Whenever you are lucky enough to have the opportunity to defend, preserve, and protect Rich's outstanding brand. So we spent most of the first hour talking about our takeaways of another fantastic finish between the Mavs and the T-Wolves. No participation trophies. You don't get a juice box or an orange wedge in pro sports. And Minnesota fans, it's going to sting whenever the series ends, especially because of the way in that game for the ages you took down the reigning champs in Denver, coming back from that 20-point deficit in the third quarter in Game 7. Minnesota's going to be heard from for years to come moving forward. And I don't think it's just a creation of, because I know a lot of you think the media, quote-unquote, that we have meetings, we get together, we read off the same talking points. If you just watched one quarter of last night's game, the third quarter between the Mavs and the Timberwolves, when Minnesota came back just when it was looking dire, they were down by 8. That dunk that Anthony Edwards pulled off, and he had not been dunking much in Game 1 and Game 2 because he was gassed. Fatigue is real. I know so many of you, especially if you're working on a holiday, think, wait a minute, this guy is 22 years old in peak condition. How can he be tired? Because the playoffs are hard, man. That's why we don't see these bolts from the blue make it all the way to the NBA Finals. And more to the point, they don't win at all on their first trip. You have to create some scar tissue in the NBA postseason. And if you're just looking category by category coming into the series between Dallas and Minnesota, one of the obvious edges, and I wasn't telling you anything hopefully you didn't know if you're paying attention, was Dallas had just been to the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago. Then they had the dip last year, didn't make the playoffs, primarily because they tanked down the stretch to protect their draft possibilities. That turned out to be their first-round pick, Derek Lively, coming out of Duke. Let's hope he can be Lively, and I'm not just trying to come up with cheap wordplay. That was tough to watch. First time he's going up to defend last night, Karl-Anthony Towns, who gets him directly in the nether regions. Somehow, he's able to grind through that, comes back, and then he catches a stray with another cat knee to his head. According to reports, he's still being monitored, but no talk of the concussion protocol yet, more of a neck issue. But the fact that he's okay is just amazing. But Dallas, while they revamped the roster at the trade deadline and picked up Daniel Gafford, who was a hero beyond Luka and Kyrie carrying the team, combining 466 last night. Gafford with a huge block late in the game, and then that signature dunk on the alley-oop from Luka. And remember, Luka was quote-unquote a game-time decision. I was tracking along on the X platform pregame. It is my job, after all. Who am I? Why am I being self-promoting? I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. 844-204-7424 is the phone number, and you can slide over to X, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. 15 minutes from now, we'll start to have an early overview of what the NBA Finals could look like. Boston versus Dallas, a reminder, the reason I can say with a high degree of certainty, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the history of the NBA postseason. Looking forward to checking in with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. We've also never had a pair of sweeps in the conference finals, although not too long ago, and I remember because I was sitting in this very chair a year ago, we came close. Remember, Denver able to sweep the Lakers. Miami had that improbable 3-0 series lead over Boston. The Celtics came all the way back and lost Game 7. So maybe that was foreshadowing for what's going on now. But given how efficient these victories could be, we're going to have a lot of downtime. Now, that's where Rich and the crew shine, because nobody's more creative than Mr. Eisen, Chris TJ, and my pal Mike Del Tufo. But thank goodness that they have a degree of ingenuity, because the NBA Finals cannot start. It will not be moved, irrespective of when the series ends, and Boston hopes it's closing time tonight in Indy, until Thursday, June 6th. That's a lot of time to tap dance. So you'll be getting a lot of, did Boston get a free pass to the NBA Finals by virtue of all the injuries? Let me think of the other Hot Take Factory submissions, and I've touched on them, but hopefully I've not been that tedious or lame. Where do you slot Luka and Kyrie amongst the all-time great backcourts in NBA history? Well, statistically, they're doing things that we've not seen another duo do, namely each having 30 points now in three games in this single playoff run. Hasn't happened in 50 years. Was Kyrie's decision to leave Boston, although it was a disaster in Brooklyn, ultimately validated because he wound up in Dallas? These are shows you were about to hear coming up during the long fallow period prior to the start of the NBA Finals. And let me jump into the context of the injuries, because yes, certainly the path to the finals has become much more straightforward for Boston. However, there is a thing called the regular season. They play these games for a reason. Now, it's primarily for the TV money and attendance, but 82 games is a fairly large sample size. Anybody who was just watching casually knew that Boston was the best team, clearly, across the NBA. Now, there were momentary lapses. Remember that Cleveland game when they gagged the huge lead? And because it's a body of work assessment for the Celtics, because it's been a slow build, and give them a great deal of credit for what they did post Kyrie. Remember, he was supposed to be the savior, and then he decided that Brooklyn seemed much more appealing. Oh, yeah, we're going to have our own big three, KD, Kyrie, and Harden. We're going to get our own coach. It doesn't matter if Steve Nash doesn't have any coaching experience. We're really going to coach as a team. And we know how that worked out. Conversely, Boston drafts and develops in magnificent fashion. You got Tatum. You got Brown. And I mentioned quickly to wrap up the last hour of the program, Stephen A. Smith is a shrewd businessman, excellent orator, but he's also filling a ton of time with all of the shows he's on. And I felt like it was a throwaway line when they were talking on that Unwatchable Morning show about why does, quote-unquote, Jaylen Brown not get more respect? And that came down to a couple things. He was not named to any of the All-NBA teams, and that was directly before he exploded for not only the three in the closing seconds of regulation in that wild finish to Game 1 as Indy got very tight, in my opinion, choked, but then he backed it up with 40 in Game 2. And Stephen A. quoted an unnamed executive saying that, well, some of the issues in terms of perception for Jaylen Brown is that he thinks he's better than other people in the NBA, that he carries himself in an off-putting way. So now you got Isaiah Thomas, the old one, not the guy from UW, piling on social media saying, name your sources. Brown now getting involved because NBA Twitter, NBA X, is a whole universe unto itself out there. But if you're thinking about the Celtics and the good fortune coming their way, with the reminder they've been doing it lately without Porzingis. So if we're going to talk about injuries, we have to be accurate, because you can make the argument that what Porzingis brought them during the regular season is a huge component to having the 64 wins. And it feels like saying goodbye to Marcus Smart was addition by subtraction, because he was just too intense. He ran too hot, especially when the games got tight. You bring in Drew Holiday, who showed again on Saturday night just what a magician he is defensively. That late steal. I know Rick Carlisle still wants it to be called a block, but Rick's made enough blunders on his own in this series that he's got nothing really to talk about. But it was the Andrew Nembhard show with a wonderful performance, filling in for Tyrese Halliburton, who all signs point to being unavailable again with a hamstring injury. Indy goes to the bench. They are blowing Boston out. They led by 18 in the first half, had a big lead early in the third quarter, and the Pacers should have grabbed that game. We should be talking about, does Indy have the ability now with a 2-1 deficit to make this series all the more interesting? And it didn't happen because Holiday manned up not only with that defensive stop, he made a big bucket late. Tatum, who I've been critical of because I don't think he carries teams, although if you're a Boston fan, you're going to primarily say, fill-in guy, I don't care about your opinion. I get it. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424, or you can X me, BW, Weber, Weber with two Bs in 10 minutes. We'll check in with Mike Vorkunov, who covers the NBA for The Athletic. But the results tell the big part of the story. Tatum, who only had 4 points in the first half in Game 2, came alive in Game 3 with 36. Al Horford, of all people, in the absence of Porzingis, knocking down threes. He's 37 years old. Boston going 11-2 in this postseason and doing it for the majority of the last two series and exclusively in this series without Porzingis. So if you're a Celtic honk, you're going to tell me, okay, yeah, the draw has gone our way. We didn't have to deal with Jimmy Butler and the Heat, although Miami somehow won Game 2 on the road in Boston. Didn't have to deal with Cleveland's best player, Donovan Mitchell, towards the end of that series, although Cleveland somehow won Game 2 on the road in Boston. You see a pattern going. Celtics certainly have benefited from a battered opponent, but two things can be equally true. Yes, injuries have gone their way. Remember, still no Porzingis as I'm telling you the story, but unless you think that Boston lacks the clutch gene. Or if you want to get in the matchups, and let's just say it's Dallas and Boston, because it would take the world coming off its axis, it feels like, for that not to be the case. If Porzingis is not 100%, he's going to have 10 days of rest potentially. What does Boston do on the interior against Dallas, who changed everything in the paint with the drafting of Lively? And let's hope he's okay after getting knocked in the head by one of Kat's knees last night. Daniel Gafford, who's been absolutely a major difference maker, especially last night on both ends of the floor. Remember, he's 6'10". P.J. Washington, while he's been showing off his perimeter skills, can take it down into the lane if need be. So that's one thing to file away. And then secondly, how does Boston want to divide the defensive responsibilities of trying to match up with both Luka and Kyrie? Because unless they can clone Drew Holiday, he can only play one of them, unless they want to go with, now I'm getting deep in the weeds, more zone concepts. But it feels like the Celtics are overdue for this kind of run. Because just go back a handful of years ago, when perhaps, like Minnesota is this year, they were ahead of schedule. Pacers certainly ahead of schedule. They blew that entire franchise up. They went all in to get Halliburton. They gave up an all-star in Sabonis, the rare deal that's worked very well for both teams. Indiana hadn't made the playoffs since 2020. If you think about how injuries have helped them, no Giannis at all, taking out Milwaukee. Dame banged up, didn't show up towards the end of that series. Then you move on to the war of Indiana versus New York. The entire Nick roster felt like it should have been in a walking cast. Anytime I mention the Knicks, it feels like whoever's left is going to turn an ankle. And then Indiana came into the series against Boston with the knowledge that Porzingis had already been ruled out the first two games of the series, and they couldn't take advantage of it because closing is the hardest thing to do in this league. Minnesota's finding that out in a hard way. Minnesota had the lead at halftime the first two games. Minnesota has been in all of these games. If you're looking at the overall tally, 3-0 Dallas on top of the T-Wolves, and you're not watching the games, you're missing out on high drama. The combined overall score separating the Mavs and the Timberwolves is just 13 points. Minnesota had major opportunities to win last night. If you're a T-Wolf fan or just somebody who enjoys greatness, it was outstanding to see Anthony Edwards show up the way he did in the third quarter with that posterization of Gafford. But once more, Minnesota didn't have anybody to support Ant, who finally delivered in the way we have seen him do so consistently in the regular season, because their second-best player, Karl-Anthony Towns, has been an absolute no-show. And I'm not hammering a guy when he's down. I'm just telling it like it is. Guy went 0 of 8 from three-point range. How about this? When you're 0 for 6, maybe you stop shooting threes. I know the entire league now is based on three-point shooting. But when you know it's not your night, and candidly, it ain't been his series, stop being a gunner. Because there's no way in hell Minnesota had a shot last night, even though it was tight within 2 minutes, and Luka's out there on one leg. Remember that shot he hit? Crazy circus shot. They're all seemingly right out of boredom and Bailey for Luka with about 2 minutes to go. Minnesota's got a chance, but they just don't have enough because Dallas is a better team. And nobody has a better team than the Boston Celtics, as the regular season standings reflect. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. 844-204-7424 is the number to call. You can X me. Head over to what used to be known as Twitter. The handle's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. So, coming up, we'll say hello to our first guest. Will it be closing time tonight in Indy? We're on the brink of a pair of sweeps. And looking ahead, what could be the X factor in the NBA Finals? Looks like. I'm not crowning anybody, but it's certainly has a strong lean towards Boston versus Dallas. We'll cover it all with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. That's next. Weber in for Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Brian Weber, and I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. In a moment, we'll get NBA analysis when we check in with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic first. I have to pass along some very sad news within the last 10 minutes. The NBA releasing a statement. Two-time NBA champion and Hall of Famer Bill Walton has passed away at the age of 71. Bill, a remarkable talents going back to being the most highly sought after high school player coming out of San Diego, going on to have the brilliant career at UCLA. Fortunately, dealt with primarily issues with his feet, but remember the brilliant championship run in Portland, then reinvented himself as a sixth man with the Celtics, and then transformed himself into a larger than life personality as a broadcaster. I worked with Bill at Pac-12 Networks, never had the pleasure of calling a game with him, but being around him, his exuberance and his passion for life and basketball was truly unique. And with that, let's bring in Mike Vorkunov. Mike, I'm sorry to have to pass along the news if you hadn't seen it, and I'll talk about the Celtics and the Mavs coming up, but let's start with your general reaction to the passing of an icon in Bill Walton.
I mean, it's very sad. I never got a chance to see him play, but he obviously was a giant on the court. You know, that 76-77 Blazers team is still so, I feel like, beloved in not only Portland, but remembered so fondly across the league. And obviously he won MVP playing 58 games the next season, which kind of speaks to how dominant he was, right? As we have all this talk about 65 game rules and all that stuff, like, he won it while dominating the league in 58 games, and then he kind of reanimated his career after injuries robbed him of so many games and so much time when he went back and became a reserve with that 85-86 Celtics team. I think he even went to law school while he was with the Clippers.
He did.
He was a true kind of a renaissance man. And to me, like, I'll always remember him for his media stuff. I loved watching him on TV. I loved hearing him call games just because he was so irreverent. And he wasn't stuffy about basketball. He seemed like he had so much fun, which is how I think most people want to watch the game and how I want to watch the game. And so I always loved that about him whenever he was on TV, and just how much fun and how silly he would be and just not, you know, not care about doing things the same exact way and treating things so seriously. And so it's very sad to see that he passed away.
Mike, I'm in my early 50s, so I'll take you back maybe before your time of watching the NBA on NBC, before Walton became the persona that we saw in the last 10 years calling college basketball games with the tie-dye and all of the remarkable references. He worked with Steve Snapper Jones, and they were the best tandem because they played off of each other. And it's just so interesting to see, in retrospect, a series of chapters in life. So as you said, and great context on that series with the Sixers, you'll recall that Philly had the early lead, and that's Dr. J and George McGinnis, comes all the way back with the Celtics. And I can't think of somebody, if we're talking body of work, and Kareem's in his own category because of social justice, but the college career, Bill is arguably one of the top 10 college basketball players of all time. You throw in the NBA titles, a pair of them, Hall of Fame is all-inclusive, and then the broadcasting work. I can't think of anyone who had that kind of unique impact on basketball.
No, I mean, he was so different and so out there and so good at everything he did, from basketball to the broadcasting stuff, that it's hard to match him on both sides of it, right? On both sides of his career, the media and the basketball stuff. And so, you know, I'll just miss him, like, at a time now where especially everything is so, how do I describe this? Everything about basketball coverage on TV can be, like, so loud and so annoying at times, and so self-serious, where Bill, whenever he came on, even if it was the college basketball games that he called, you just knew you were going to have fun for that time.
Yeah, and throw it down, big man, and all these amazing phrases. Gone way too soon. So I'm going to continue to have more thoughts on the life and times of Bill Walton coming up as we're reacting to the breaking news. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Always a pleasure to talk basketball with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. Mike, no easy transition to make, but I'll follow up on your thought about the annoying coverage and go down that road, because now the framing of Luka and Kyrie, and I'm not taking anything away from them, they have been historic, each going for 30 points individually now three times in the same postseason. Should we, though, pump the brakes a little bit? Could there be a degree of overreaction to say, where do they rank amongst the greatest backcourts of all time?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, this is all, like, caught in the moment type of stuff. I mean, they're having a great playoff run. We'll see if they win an NBA title or not. It's obviously two really good basketball players. Luka is, you know, if he keeps this up, he's going to be an all-time great. Kyrie Irving is one of the more skilled basketball players of his generation. And so if they're able to stay together long enough, do this for a long enough period, they should be put into that conversation. But for now, it's all kind of prisoner of the moment type of stuff, right, as they're going on their way to an NBA Finals, very, very likely.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. We're taking you across the NBA postseason with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. Hey, Mike, looking back, Nico Harrison knew something we didn't, and he should because he's the GM of the Mavs and knows that roster. But can you think of a series of what felt like marginal moves at the time prior to the deadline that have been more impactful in recent years than the Mavs picking up both P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford, who was sensational last night?
No, I mean, they really did such, like, an unheralded job at the time, obviously, refurbishing that team. I liked those moves, but I didn't think, like, it was the type of stuff that was going to make them into an NBA Finals type of team, right? I didn't see that coming. But he deserves a lot of credit. That whole front office deserves a lot of credit. They, you know, the previous trade deadline in 2023, they took a chance on Kyrie Irving when he was a pariah at that time, for all the stuff that went down in Brooklyn, and that was of his doing. And they made that trade, and look, it's gotten them to within a game of the NBA Finals. So I think some of the decisions may be either controversial at the time or underappreciated at the time have really all worked out, and it's put them on the precipice, of possibly the Mavericks' second title in 13 years.
As we think about Minnesota, certainly ahead of schedule, and what a transcendent run it's been for Anthony Edwards, just 22 years old. Although I keep reminding the audience, Luka's only 25. Feels like we've known him for so long because he came over at such a young age. I don't want to fall victim to what we were just both critiquing with knee-jerk instant analysis. And I know the body of work for Karl Anthony Towns, but his inability to show up in this series, is that a cautionary tale for Minnesota moving forward? If this team is going to win a championship, do they need a legitimate second star alongside Anthony Edwards?
You know, that's really hard to say because, you know, part of it is fit too, right? And Kat is so good next to Anthony Edwards because he's a great shooter. And he can play alongside Rudy Gobert because of that shooting, because they can still have two bigs out there to space the floor and defend the rim at the same time and be big and physical. And with Jaden McDaniels, you know, they're like such a – it really enhances their defense, right, even though Kat isn't necessarily a great defender by himself. Part of this whole equation for me is always, if you trade him, are you going to be able to bring in someone better, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big question. And this is their first – you know, their first long playoff run. And I think it, in especially in the playoffs, experience does matter. And we weren't saying that type of stuff about Kat after game 7 against Denver, right? And so maybe it's just one bad playoff series for him. The fit is, you know, obviously it's a question that's been around for the last year and a half for Minnesota. It's going to be a question for them going to next year too, just because of the finances. And I think they're going to be bumping up against the second apron as well. But if you make that trade and it's not for financial reasons, the question to me is always, who can you get and will they be better than the team you have right now and the player that you're trading away? And I think that's going to be hard to do.
Talking hoops with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic for a few more minutes. So, Mike, whenever Boston closes out Indy, as soon as tonight, and Dallas can get it done tomorrow, we've never had a pair of sweeps in the same postseason in both conference finals, meaning, as you know, finals are locked in. They will not start until June 6th. So with all the additional rest for Kristaps Porzingis to heal and try to get in basketball shape coming back from that lingering nagging calf injury, based on the matchup with Dallas and their bigs, do you think Porzingis, even at 75%, is going to have more of an impact offensively or defensively when he comes back?
You know, I think it's going to be defensively. That's where he's had the impact all season long. You know, he's kind of the anchor of that defense, even with Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown and Derek White there. And especially if Dallas is healthy and Derek Lively is able to play in the finals, you're going to need someone to be able to switch, to wall off the paint against Kyrie and Luka and the lobs. There's a lot to do if you're a really elite defensive big man, especially against a team like Dallas. Like, we've seen Rudy Gobert struggle at times, right? And so the value of Kristaps Porzingis and what he can bring defensively is going to be so important for them, I think, more so than the offensive side, just because Boston has other options on offense that they can go to. They have Tatum. They have Brown. They have Drew Holiday can create for himself, although not always efficiently. They have Derek White, right? But they only have one guy who can do what he does on defense and really protect the paint the way that he does. And so I'm going to be really curious if he is healthy enough to play, how many minutes he can play, because it's really hard to just miss two straight rounds in the playoffs and come back and play like 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, it would be almost unprecedented, but we've seen so many strange things in this postseason. Finally, I'm going to talk about the Lakers coaching opening coming up in the last hour of the program. I want to be balanced, not overlook Cleveland. Feels like J.B. Bickerstaff got a raw deal, although your colleagues in The Athletic had that long, insightful piece about the dysfunction within the Cavs organization. How good of a job is that for whoever they hire next?
I mean, it's definitely pretty interesting, right? You have obviously you're going to get that job and you're going to have a need to win right away. I think Kobe Altman made that clear when he explained his thinking on firing J.B. Bickerstaff last week. But it's also a young team, so there's room to grow. You know, there's few jobs like that, but I don't think you come into that job thinking, okay, making the playoffs is enough, winning one round is enough, because the Cavs just fired J.B. Bickerstaff for doing just that, right? So they're expecting longer playoff runs, especially if they can keep Donovan Mitchell. I think that there's a lot of pressure there to win right away, but how many other teams can you take? How many other jobs can you take where you have like three all-stars or three almost all stars on the team right away and have that opportunity? So it's, you know, you have to bring in a coach who sees it more as an opportunity than as a pressure. And I think that most coaches do think about it that way.
Mike, always a pleasure. Greatly appreciate the insights, and thanks so much for offering your thoughts on the passing and the real sad news today that we've lost Bill Walton at the age of 71. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Brian.
Mike Vorkunov, excellent perspective as always, and great to have the opinion of someone who knows the NBA as well as he does as the basketball world continues to react to the very sad news today issued through NBA communication. So it's an official statement. Bill Walton, gone at the age of 71, two-time NBA champion, Hall of Famer, iconic college basketball career at UCLA. So go to call an audible. I mentioned this is the football show of record, but Rich is back tomorrow, and he can handle all of his takeaways from OTAs across the league based on the breaking news. Well, pivot towards more thoughts on the life and times of Bill Walton. I love basketball history. I love basketball as much or more than the NBA. I mentioned never worked with Mr. Walton, but I was lucky to be in the room with him on a handful of occasions, and he was exactly who you wanted him to be. So we'll continue to reflect on the very sad news that Bill Walton is gone at the age of 71. I'm Brian Weber. We're live on this Memorial Day. In for Rich Eisen, this is The Rich Eisen Show.
Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine.
Excellent work by our skilled technical producer, Curtis. Grateful Dead as an homage to now the late Bill Walton. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. 844-204-7424, the number to call. You can X me, BWWeber, Weber with two B's, reacting to the breaking news that I brushed across about 25 minutes ago, and the statement released by the NBA now officially 29 minutes ago. So, A, thanks primarily to Rich for having a host on a holiday. I understand the economics. We're in a challenging time in our industry, but if you play tape and you have a best of, you don't have the ability to react in real time. In addition to all the NBA talk we've already had, takeaways about what went down last night between Dallas and Minnesota, looking ahead to tonight with Boston trying to close out the sweep of Indy. Just had a strong NBA conversation with Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic. Real-time analysis of Rafael Nadal saying goodbye to Roland Garros as he was swept in straight sets today by Alexander Zverev in the first round. And then the announcement from the league. Now, truly one of the faces and voices in his unique way of the NBA, Bill Walton has passed away at the age of 71. And I mentioned, and I'm going to do a little bit too much autobiographical, don't like to say I, try to say we and talk about general concepts, but as someone who was lucky to work for the Pac-12 and are now soon to be defunct network for 11 years, anytime there was a big function for the conference. Bill Walton was there because nobody loved the Conference of Champions, and he said it because it's also accurate, more national championships produced by the Pac-12 than any other conference. And Bill goes back to the days of the Pac-8 when UCLA was stacking national championships in Westwood. But he had such a complete devotion to our conference and really reflected his zest for life. He had that engaging smile, and I know at times it felt like it could be over the top, and there were times when I was watching a Stanford basketball game, because I went there a million years ago, and half of me is thinking, Bill, I don't need the Jerry Garcia monologue now, and then I would catch myself saying, what are you, a moron? Nobody else can do this. Nobody else has that perspective, because he lived such a rich life, because he hung out with those dudes, because he did and saw just about everything. And the fact that he became a broadcaster is all the more incredible, because if you know anything about his backstory, he overcame a serious stutter. He hated public speaking. So you grow up, you're the tallest kid in high school, you're not comfortable speaking, because what's the old line about the greatest phobia that everyone has? That, you know, they'd rather take their chances with a plane that might not land than have to get up in front of a room filled with strangers and give a public speech. Bill had that kind of adversity to overcome, and he did it in magnificent fashion. There was no one quite like him, especially if you want to combine the MBA and college experience. When Bill, I mentioned it with Mike Vorkunoff, because I grew up with the ascendance of the NBA. I go back to Magic and Bird, and my dad, who coincidentally we lost a year ago today, so I'm thinking about a lot of things right now. But my dad went to Michigan State, so he was a Magic guy. And then being a sports fan in my formative years, when Bill would show up on the NBA on NBC and work with Steve Snapper Jones, they had just an amazing chemistry, an amazing patter. They would go back and forth, not bigger than the game, but it added something to the game, because let's face it, not every game is as thrilling as the conclusion that we saw last night with the Mavs upping their lead to 3-0 over the Timberwolves. Not as remarkable as the end of the game that we saw on Saturday night in Indy with the Celtics getting it done, coming all the way back from that 18-point deficit. So Walton brought just such a unique perspective. Even then, with the national platform, he would always have the Grateful Dead ties. And then when he became, in some ways, bigger than the games he was covering, especially on the college level, he could show up and do whatever he wanted to because he earned it. And because his passion was so organic, there was nothing about Bill Walton, in my opinion, just being in general settings with him, that was anything less than genuine. He was thoroughly transparent before we even use that word. And let's not overlook what he meant on the floor. At UCLA, with their dominant run and the, 70-ish game winning streak, ending on the road in Notre Dame, all the national championships coming in the wake of Kareem, so that's pretty good recruiting, and we know UCLA had some advantages back in the day. But to go from Lou Alcindor to Bill Walton made John Wooden, and he was the first to admit it, the Wizard of Westwood. Bill winds up in the NBA. Portland, talk about serendipity, such a perfect fit for his iconoclastic personality. Remember Bill also, very vocal, opposing the Vietnam War, and he and Wooden had some clashes about things as mundane as cutting his hair. And then, of course, they had the reconciliation as they both got older. Let's not overlook, before the series of foot injuries slowed him down, Bill Walton, at the early stages of his NBA career, was a dominant center in Portland. 76-77, Rip City. Blazers beat the Sixers in that final. Then, unfortunately, he just cannot stay healthy. Stepped away from the game. As Mike pointed out, he attended some law school classes at my alma mater. So imagine being in Palo Alto, and here comes the big redhead. sitting in your contract law class, comes all the way back and was a valuable sixth man for the Celtics, winning his second ring there. Then has an entirely different chapter. There might be young people who don't even know that he played basketball. Now, I think you could discern it because whenever he appeared on camera, he was bigger than all of his colleagues, and he had such, unfortunately, challenging back issues that he would always have a stool, make sure he could sit up in the proper place to keep his spine aligned. But there will never be another Bill Walton. And you think about the basketball family with his son Luke, who played at Arizona, into the NBA and coached the Lakers. He was just a giant in every sense of the word. And it was a time in which we didn't have the artifice of social media. We didn't have the crafting of a public image. Bill Walton did not have handlers. He was truly himself. And that shined through in every forum, every setting, every room he entered, and every game he called. And just on a personal note, as somebody who cared about the Pac-12, and look, we'll all be fine. I'll pretend I love the Big Ten starting in 4 months if they pay me. Nobody cared about that conference more than Bill Walton. And if you didn't love the Pac-12, I'm sure it became annoying because he would opine about the Conference of Champions. And every one of his bracketology projections would have four Pac-12 teams in the Final Four. But that was part of his charm, because he let you know who he was, and he was unabashed being himself. So, very sad and shocking news. Only 71. And think about what that means now for his family and what it means for the basketball family to lose an iconic personality and a wonderful person like Bill Walton. Just terribly sad news. Now, I'm not going to be the guy on the radio saying Bill would want us to have a party, but I bet we can find something with Bill talking about, well, when I'm gone, play the dead and go out and live your life, because that individual lived his life as fully as possible and dealt with real adversity. Hey, it cannot be easy to be among the most dominant college basketball players we have ever seen and then be viewed as a bust at the age of 26 when your body betrays you, and to keep on battling. And he talked openly about having issues with depression before that was mainstream and before most men were comfortable talking about that kind of challenge. But he believed in himself, and he let other people in. There was a generosity, and I know television producers who've worked with him, and they all said, hey, I'm doing the game, but I'm doing it with Bill, and the game within the game was even more fascinating because of the production meetings, or because Bill would say, you know what, we're not going to shoot around today, to hear another cliche from a college coach. We're going on a hike, or we're going to go find the best diner in this town. Because he realized, and you never want to say, well, this puts things in perspective, that's so trite, but tomorrow's not promised for any of us. And 71 is way too young, especially for someone who lived his life as fully as Bill Walton. You want to talk about sucking the marrow out of life, as the romantic poets used to describe. I'm getting deep now. Bill would appreciate it. It's a literary reference. Nobody had the same perspective on basketball as Bill Walton. And when he was engaged, he could break it down in ways that other people couldn't, because he just saw the sport differently. So, a major loss, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the entire family as the NBA continues to react to the passing of Bill Walton. He's gone at the age of 71, and I'll continue to incorporate more thoughts on his remarkable life and legacy as we move into the final hour of the program. We'll also talk in advance of Boston and Dallas in the NBA Finals. How much of an edge could the Mavs have in the paint? That's coming up. I'm Brian Weber in Verizon. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot.
But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen. John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.